Charlie Brown is at bat. Strike one. Strike two. Strike three. And he hangs his head and he walks back to the dugout. Rats! I'll never be a big league ball player. I just don't have it. All my life I've dreamed of playing in the big leagues, but I know I'll never make it. Lucy comes to console him. Charlie Brown, you're thinking too far ahead. What you need to do is set yourself some more immediate goals. Charlie looks at her and says, immediate goals? She says, yes. Start with this next inning when you go out to pitch. See if you can walk out to the mound without falling on your face. We are about to emerge start on a new year. This is the last Sunday of 2014. And you know, goals are important. It's important for us to have, I believe, spiritual goals. The long-range goal, the big league goal for the Christian is to become like Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the big league goal. And you might think, man, I'll never get there. I got good news. I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you is going to complete it. You're going to reach the big leagues. You're going to one day be like Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're going to shine with the glory of Jesus Christ. That's neat. But along the way, we need some immediate goals. If we're gonna move along and grow in our Christian life, I think, like Lucy said, you need immediate goals, some things that you are shooting at to help you to grow and become more like Jesus Christ. So this morning, take your Bibles, open them up to John 17. John 17. In this chapter, this records what is called Christ or Jesus' high priestly prayer. This is the longest recorded prayer of the Lord in the Bible. Now, it's been said of this prayer, it's the greatest prayer ever prayed on earth and the greatest prayer recorded anywhere in Scripture. This prayer is prayed. Look at verse 20. For who is this prayer prayed for? In verse 20, it says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. So Jesus is praying for the disciples, and he's praying for who?
Us.
Us that have believed in Jesus through their word. So this prayer is prayed for us. And what Jesus prays, when Jesus prays, he doesn't pray fluff. What he prays is vital. What he prays is essential for our Christian life and for our spiritual growth. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at this prayer and see what Jesus prays for. And there are certain areas which he prays for, and they're important. And I think these areas are areas where we, as followers of Christ, need to set some goals. Okay? So there's seven areas I want to take a look at today. Seven types of goals that I think we need to set goals in these areas. First of all, number one, we need to set salvation goals. Salvation goals. The first thing Jesus addresses as he prays for is salvation or eternal life. Look at verses 1 through 3. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, he speaks here of eternal life. By the way, life is not about you. And life's not about me. Life is about the glory of God. In fact, people debate on what is the overall theme of the Bible. And some say, well, the overall theme of the Bible is redemption. And some say the overall theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God. I'll tell you what I think the overall theme of the Bible is. The glory of God. And that has to do with redemption. That has to do with the kingdom of God. That has to do with creation. But the overall theme of the Bible is the glory of God. And that's what Jesus starts off with. You know, glorify me that I might glorify you, God. But then he gets into this eternal life. Eternal life. Folks, the number one most important thing in this life is to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing. The gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, God's only Son provides eternal life. That's what it is. He provides eternal life. So let me ask, have you received the gift of eternal life? Have you received that gift? If you were to die today, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Are you saved? Are you born again? And if you're sitting there saying, Pastor, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to come to Christ. Or if you're sitting there and say, I'm not sure whether I'd go to heaven if I would die today. I think I would. You probably need to get saved. Or you need the assurance of your salvation. This is number one important thing. The Bible tells us there's only one way to be saved. And that's through belief in Jesus Christ. I was up at the mall yesterday. And I saw some bumper. I read bumper stickers. And I saw a bumper sticker. I went over and read it. And it said, God is too big to be confined to one religion. And on the other side, it said, there was another bumper sticker that said, question authority. And I thought, you know what? You're wrong. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God is in one religion. Christianity. And the God of the Bible is the God, the one and only God. And you only come to salvation. You only come to eternal life through Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. You see, there's something to be believed. He died for us. He died for me on that cross. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. There's something to be believed, but there's someone to be received. I did a wedding. In fact, the bride and the groom are here. I saw them come in today. It was a wonderful wedding last Saturday. And I went to the reception, sat down with a man. And I'm going to call him Joe. That was not his name. But I sat down with Joe, started talking to him. And he said, you know what? My dad's a pastor. I said, really? And I said, where does he pastor? Oh, he pastors in Alliance. What church? And he told me the church. And I said, oh, wonderful, Joe. That is wonderful. I said, where are you with the Lord? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior, or are you still on the way? And he kind of looked down. He said, I'm still on the way. I said, Joe, how far along the way are you? He said, boy, that's a good question. I said, yeah, it is. And I said, Joe, you know what? I don't believe I'm sat down here beside you by chance. You know what, Joe? I think your dad's praying for you right now. and you need to accept Christ. Sat down with another lady in my office 2 weeks ago. She came in and, man, she just poured out her life, just going through tremendous difficulties and trials. And I listened. And then finally, and I'm going to call this lady Linda. That's not her name. But I said, Linda, where are you with the Lord? And she said, I believed in God all my life. I pray to God every day, and he's done so many things for my life. I said, Linda, have you ever personally received Christ as your Savior? Have you ever asked Christ into your life? Have you ever been born again? She said, no, I've never done that. I said, don't you think it would be a good thing to do? She said, yes. And she, in my office, asked Christ into her heart. Have you ever done that? I'll tell you what. Eternal life, that's what Jesus prays about here. If you've never done that, why don't you make it your goal in 2015 to receive Christ? Nah! Why don't you make it your goal right now to receive Jesus? Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next year. Right now. I'll tell you, it's the best thing you could ever do. To accept Christ and be saved and have your sins forgiven. I'll tell you what, you can start off new. A new year with a new life. You can be a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Why not receive Jesus today? Do you have him in your heart? You say, well, Pastor, I've done that. I don't need to set any salvation goals because I've done that. Well, what is eternal life? Did you see it here? People don't realize. Look at verse 3. Because people don't realize what eternal life is. They think that I prayed a prayer and now I have eternal life and someday I'm going to go to heaven. That's what it's all about. No. This is eternal life. That you what? That you may know God. That they may know you and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. You see, Christianity is a relationship with God that starts the moment you believe. When you accept Christ, that's not the end. That's the beginning of a wonderful relationship with God that starts now, that will go on throughout all eternity. That's why it's eternal life. It's to know God. And you know what? When it comes to knowing God, listen, you say, I've received Christ, but none of us have arrived. You can never get to the point where you say, I know God, and I know him fully, and I don't need to grow in that area. Right? We always need to know him more. Need to know more. Paul, the apostle, remember what he said? This is my goal in life. Philippians 3, that I might know him. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, to know, you know what? There's no greater honor, no greater privilege in all the world than to know God. I know God. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? I'm going to tell you, no greater privilege. Do you know there's nothing that makes God happier? Nothing that blesses God's heart more than the knowledge of him. He is continually trying to make himself known. And so if you're a Christian, why not make it a goal in 2015 to get to know him better? To spend more time, a little more time with God. You get to know people when you spend time with them. Not just texting. You know? But when you spend face-to-face time with somebody, you get to know them. So, are you having a time with God every day? Sometimes people call that a quiet time. Are you doing that? Why not make it a commitment? You know what? I'm going to do that this year. Or if you are spending time with God every day, why not just increase it a little bit? Spend a little bit more time with God. Get to know him. Set some time aside to really get to know God. Make it your goal to get to know God better in 2015. That's one area. We need to set salvation goals. Number two, we need to set sanctification goals. You see verse 17? Look at verse 17. He says, he begins with these words, sanctify them in thy truth. He's praying for us. He's praying for our sanctification. What's that mean? The word sanctify has two different meanings. They're connected. One is to set apart. The other means to make holy. To set apart, to make holy. God sent Christ. Not only to pay the penalty for our sin and to deliver us from the penalty of our sin, but he sent Jesus Christ to deliver us from the pollution and power of sin in our lives. Folks, that's true. Listen, this is not preached in a lot of churches today, sanctification. But I'm going to tell you, God not only paid and paid the cost for our sins to deliver us from the penalty, but from the pollution, from the power and practice of sin. And one day when we get to heaven, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. But right now, he wants to make us holy. He said it to Timothy. He said, Timothy, we have been saved and called with a holy calling. A holy calling. God has called us to grow in Christlikeness, to be holy and sanctified, to live holy lives in an unholy world. An unholy world. You see, in verse 15, look at verse 15. He says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. He prays that we would live lives that are set apart from the world. Listen, different from the world. In fact, if you want to know how you should act as a Christian, watch the world and then do the exact opposite. Do 180, because the world is going this way, and we as Christians are to go there. We're to be different, not weird. Some of you are weird. I know we are a peculiar people, and some of you are really peculiar. We're not to be weird like that, but we are to be different. We're not to go along with the world. I talked to a parent last week. Godly family. Godly family. Children raised in the church. And she told me about their oldest son. And she said, you know what? Broke our heart. Got into some stuff that I won't go into, but got into some stuff. Ended up living with his girlfriend. Broke our heart. You see, but you know what, folks? Everybody's doing it. You know? It's just the way everybody's going, so it's okay, right? No, it's not right. Jesus said, you're in the world, but you're not to be of the world. I pray that you're not of the world. I want a holy people, a godly people, that live pure lives, that we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in a winsome way. What a shine, folks. What a shine with the righteousness of Christ. So, will you make it your goal in 2015 to grow in holiness? Part of that means dealing with sins in your life. Is there a sin in your life right now that you're aware of that God is saying right now, I want you to give it up? You know, the Bible's, I love 1 John 1:9, and you know it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. That's sanctification. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So will you say, you know what? When I sin, I'm just going to confess it to the Lord. I got news for you. He knows anyhow. I mean, you can't hide it from God. We try to do that. Well, I'm going to hide it from everybody. I'm going to hide it from God. God knows. And he's saying to you, he's saying to me, just what he said to Adam and Eve. Where are you? He knew where they were. He wanted them to admit where they were. And part of growing in holiness is dealing with sin and keeping short accounts with God. And just when I get those wrong thoughts and those raunchy thoughts in my mind, when I say things I shouldn't, whatever, I say, God, forgive me. I'm bringing it right out to the light. You deliver me. Cleanse me from this. Will you do that this year? Will you keep short accounts with God? Another aspect of sanctification is walking in the Spirit. And folks, I'll tell you, my wife taught me this. And I've shared it before. But she said, you know, it's like in a computer, the default on the computer. You get on a computer and the type size is a font of 12. That's the default. It always goes to that. If you want to have something different, you got to reset it. And we always, in the morning, my wife and I, Linda, you know, our default, you know what my default is? It's sin. It's selfishness. Can anybody identify with that? Or am I you don't have to raise your hand. You sinners. It's true. It's true, folks. And Linda and I just say, Lord, you know our default here? We want to reset our default to being Spirit-filled. We don't want to be selfish. We don't want to be sinful like this. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. See, that's part of sanctification. Will you say, I'm going to commit, you know, every morning, Lord, I'm going to reset my default to walk in the Spirit of God. I am by your grace. My goal is to live a more holy life in 2015. Like 2 Corinthians 7:1 states, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Christ. Will you make it your goal this year to live a more holy life for Christ with his help? Number three. We need to set salvation goals. We need to set sanctification goals. We need to set scripture goals. Verse 17 again. He says, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Scripture goals. Right alongside sanctification goes scripture. And again, you have to have the confession of sin. You have to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? If we are going to walk in sanctification, we have got to get filled with the word of God. We have got to be permeated with the Word of God. We have to be immersed in God's Word. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy Word is true. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's through the Word of God. Now, here again, we can have some specific goals. Will you make it your goal to read through the Bible in 2015? I'll tell you, somebody says, I did that last year, Pastor. Great! How about doing it again this year? You know, the Bible's not like a novel. You know, you read a novel once, you put it away. The Bible's a living book. It's living. And you know what? Every time you go through the Bible, it speaks to you 1,000 different ways. It does. It does, folks. Because although the Bible doesn't change, guess what? I change. Amen. My situations in life change. And things that didn't speak to me last year, they're going to jump off the page to me this year. they're going to jump off the page. Will you? And in fact, and I'm going to make these available, here are some reading guides. I have 300 of them here. No, I have 80 of them here. But will you take one of these reading guides and commit to read through the Bible this year? Man, oh man, will your life be changed when you read through God's Word? Read through God's Word. Or maybe you want to say, that's a big task, Pastor. I'll read through the New Testament this year. Or maybe Jesse's gotten to you. I saw Brother Jesse, but I don't see him back there now. Maybe they're downstairs. And you're going to read through the Old Testament. That's part of the Bible. If Jesse were here, he'd say, Mike, what would he say?
Amen.
Amen, right? Okay, wake up back there, Mike, by the way. Will you read through portion of the Bible? You know, one thing I want to do, and I told Linda, Lord willing, I'm going to read through the Bible again this year. And we read every morning, but we said the other day, I want to start reading the Bible at night before I go to bed also. Just some in the morning, but I want to read before I go to bed at night. I think I'll sleep better. I think my dreams will be better. And that's one goal that I want to make this year. How about making some scripture memory goals? Oh, groan. But I can't memorize, Pastor. I can do some things through Christ who strengthened me. That's the Revised Standard Edition. What does that say? I can do all things. Oh. Okay, let's have a little practice here. Ready? Here's what I want you to say. John 11:35. John 11:35. Jesus wept.
Jesus wept.
John 11:35.
John 11:35.
You did it! You got it! You just memorized a verse of God's Word. You can memorize. Maybe you want to take one verse a week. That's 52 for the year. Wouldn't that be exciting? Or you say, I can't do that. Okay, try one a month. You can do 12 verses. But get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. I'll tell you what, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. We need the word of God. This world needs people that are filled with the word of God. So, will you make some goals, scripture goals? We need goals to set salvation goals, sanctification goals, scripture goals. Number four, we need to set supplication goals. Or if you want to put it, prayer goals. This whole chapter is a prayer. You know, Jesus says in verse 20, I ask not only for my disciples, but I'm asking for all those who believe on his name. The word ask is the word for prayer. Ask and you shall receive. This is prayer. If you look at Jesus' life, it was characterized by prayer. I saw this especially when I read through Luke just a couple weeks ago. Prayer. He got away and prayed and prayed and prayed. Jesus knew the importance of prayer. The Bible teaches that we need to pray. Several different kinds of prayer. We need closet prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We need private time to get away and pray. We need corporate prayer. Jesus said, two of you agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. That's getting together to pray. The early church, Acts chapter 2. Where were they? 120 in the upper room, prayed. God sent the Holy Spirit. The church prayed, Lord, release Peter from jail. And Peter, who is it? Peter. Get away. We're praying for Peter. He's in jail. I'm going to tell you, folks, corporate prayer. And then continual prayer. Pray without ceasing. We need to be praying all the time. When you're driving, pray. Don't close your eyes, but pray. You know, when wherever you are, keep that constant communication with God. How's your prayer life? Boy, when people ask me that, I get convicted. I don't know about you, but I need to grow in my prayer life. Maybe you want to make it a goal to start coming to our midweek prayer session. You know, this church has a prayer meeting. Some people say, that's a dinosaur. Churches don't have prayer meetings anymore. This church is going to have a prayer meeting. Until this pastor's gone, this church is going to have a prayer meeting. Because God, when God does something, he always stirs his people to pray. And if something's going to happen in our personal lives, in our families, and in our church, in our community, in our country, and in God's world, it's going to become when God's people get serious about prayer. So maybe you want to say, I'm going to come to prayer meeting. Maybe once a month, I'm going to come to prayer meeting. If you're not coming now, once a month, I'm going to come to prayer meeting. I'll tell you what, I just want to give a personal testimony. The night I sleep best is Wednesday night after I come home from prayer meeting. You know what? There's something about that that gives me peace in my heart. And God blesses my soul when I come to prayer meeting. And I'm going to make it my goal to be at prayer meeting. I know I have to, but maybe you want to make that your goal. Or make it a goal to pray a little bit more. We need to set supplication goals. Number five, we need to set service goals. Service goals. Verse 4, Jesus makes an interesting statement. He says, I've accomplished or finished the work that you gave me to do, God. Now think about that. Think about that. I've accomplished the work. Did Jesus preach in every city in Israel? No. Did Jesus heal every person that was sick in Galilee or Judea? No. Did he cast out every demon out of every demon-possessed person? No. And yet he says, listen, I finished the work you gave me to do. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us this, that God had work for Jesus to do. And if you're a Christian, God has work for you to do. It's not everything. We can't do everything. But we can do something. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. God created you to do something. He created you unique, that you and only you can do that which he created you to do. And, you know, the body of Christ is to grow by what every member supplies. Every member, a minister. It's just not, let's hire a pastor to do the work. That's not my job. That's our job. And here's what I want to challenge you. Do you have a ministry for the Lord? Are you fulfilling what God has called you to do? Not what God has called Pastor Les to do or the elders of the church or whatever. He has a ministry for you. Do you know what that ministry is? Will you make it your goal to seek the Lord? Lord, where do you want to use me? And I am going to, by your grace, I'm going to get involved. And I can't do everything, Lord, but I can do something. Will you make it your goal to get involved in serving Christ? That's the service goals. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Tell you what, you do something for Christ, it's gonna have eternal benefits. Eternal benefits. Are you ministering for Christ? If not, and you say, I don't know where to minister, contact me and I'll give you a ministry. I will. I'll give you a ministry. I don't know what that ministry will be, but we'll find a place for you to serve Christ in this church. Number six, we need to set social goals or relationship goals. Verses 21 through 26, Jesus prays these verses about relationships between Christians. He prays that we might be one even as he is one with the Father. Look at verse 21. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. He says, I pray that, you know what he's saying? I'm praying that Christians get along. Now, why would he pray that? Well, to dwell above with saints we love, 'twill be our theme in glory. To dwell below with saints we know, that's quite a different story. But it's important. It's important that we get along. That doesn't mean we have to agree with one another. But that means we need to treat each other with respect and be one in Christ. In fact, in verse 23, you know what he prays for? Perfect unity. Perfect unity. He says there, so that, he said, that they may be perfect in unity. And you know, that's important because, let me tell you something. The world's watching. Amen. They're watching. Jesus says it. Listen, I pray that they be one so that the world will know that God has sent the Christ. And when, you know what? When Christians don't get along, you know where it ends up? On the front page of the Akron Beacon Journal. And people laugh. And the name of our dear Savior is dragged down in the mud. That's why the Bible says that we are to be diligent to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he prays the last verse. You know what he prays in the last verse? Lord, the love that we have, God, I pray that the love we have will be filled in them. They'll be filled with that love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by how good you preach. No. By the size of the Sunday school class. Mm-mm. If you get a bigger building, man, they'll know that your disciples. No. By the love you have for one another. And as people see us loving one another, they say, you know what? They must be followers of that Jesus guy. That one that the Father sent into the world. So you know what? To God, relationships are important. Is there somebody you need to forgive? Somebody maybe you've just been struggling with and you have a grudge against. And God says, you know, be kindly affectioned one to another, forgiving each other. Just as God forgave you, so also should you. Do you need to make it your goal? I'm gonna forgive so-and-so. Or I'm going to make it my goal by God's grace to be more patient and forbearing. There's somebody in the church that kind of rubs me the wrong way, but I'm going to reach out in love. This is going to be my goal. I am going to do everything I can to maintain the unity of the Spirit at Faith Bible Fellowship in 2015. Well, we need set salvation goals. We need sanctification goals. We need scripture goals. We need supplication goals. We need service goals. We need social goals. And last, we need soul winning goals. Soul winning goals. Verse 18. Jesus prayed, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. Do you know why Jesus was sent into the world? to seek and to save the lost. He came on a rescue mission. The incarnation is a rescue mission. He came down for the salvation of souls. And he says, I pray this so that in verse 15, I don't pray that you take them out of this world. Now, you know, I've thought about that. I wish you'd have prayed, Lord, take them out of this world. And you know, every time somebody got saved, instant rapture. Wouldn't that have been neat? But he didn't. He said, I don't pray you take them out of the world. Why? Why didn't he pray that? Because he left us here for a mission. He's left you here for a purpose. And that's to reach souls for Christ. People need the Lord. And guess what? If you're a Christian, you're the Lord to them. You're to take the gospel to them. You're to share Jesus with them. And you say, well, but they're religious. Yeah, so was Joe. Grew up in a Christian home. Dad a pastor. Didn't know the Lord. God has left us here to share the gospel. So, what about this year? What about goals? Will you make it your goal to be active to bring people to Christ? Let me suggest something. Will you put down three names of people that you know need Jesus? And will you pray for them? Don't go to them. Don't you dare open your mouth. Pray for them. And you know what? When Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers, they started praying, and guess who he sent? Pray for three people. Will you, my goal, I'm going to set a goal here in this area. My goal is to take tracts and carry tracts with me wherever I go. And I am going to pray, God, give me Sita Divinas, divine appointments. Give me somebody to give out one of these tracts. I'm not going to look for it. I'm just going to wait and ask God to make those divine appointments, and I'll give out a tract. You know, give out one tract a week. That's 52 tracts. If 200 people do that, that's over 10,000 tracts. Will you make a goal to be more of a soul winner in 2015? Those are a lot of goals, huh? Seven areas. We need to set goals: salvation goals, sanctification goals, scripture goals, supplication goals, service goals, social goals, and soul winning goals. But you know what? If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. But listen to this. If you aim at everything, you'll probably try to do this for about 2 weeks and give up. So here's what I want you to do today. You see, your outline is a little different today. Take these out, would you? You have an outline in your bulletin. A little different. This side was for you to take notes. This other side has specific goals I'd like to set for 2015. Would you, first of all, would you tear this off, please? Tear this off. And then tear this in half. And here's what I'd like you to do. I only put two down here. I would like you we're just going to, a couple minutes, I want you to, what spiritual goal do I want to really shoot for this year? Two goals. Mark it on both of these. One of these, keep in your Bible. Because sometimes we make goals and I don't know if you do, but I forget. I turned 39 last year. I'm forgetting a lot of things anymore. But keep this, what are you laughing for? Keep this one in your Bible so you remember. And every time you open your Bible, then you will see the goals. This one, what I want you to do is bring it up and put it on the altar when we sing our last song. Now, again, you say, oh, committing to God. What I mean by this, what I want us to mean by this is, God, I will do this, but you know what, God? I realize without your help, without your grace, I ain't going to do it. So I'm bringing this forward, but I'm asking you to give me the grace to meet these goals. So would you just take a moment to fill those out? I've already done it, so I'm going to put mine down here on this. And just take a minute, and then we're going to, Judy, you want to come? And Jeremy, you want to come?